deeper. If the angels of Almighty God still say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They're learning revelation every day till eternity. When you get to that place, I've touched God, but he hasn't touched you. The woman that touched the hem of his garment touched God, but he turned around and touched her and changed her disposition and her position in life. Here's the beautiful thing about it. She touched him. Everybody else was touching him. But when she touched him, he turned. Some of us touch him just because we think we know him. And he's asking us, will you really touch me? Will you really touch me with your faith for what you are in need of? What are you in need of that hasn't happened just yet? And it faces you every day when you get up in the morning. And it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still right there. God says, will you just touch me? Yes. Will you press through? Everybody else is trying to stop you from getting in. Yes. What's this? This is going to hurt. Will you press in beyond yourself? Because you're keeping you away from me. Can we get there? Can we get there? He's able. He's more than able. How many of you had a real encounter with God? A real encounter that you can say, that right there was God. None of those that the power of God fell. But you still the same snake when you walked in church. That ain't no power of God. Make you, you know, we give all these Christian terminologies in a church service. Because we've been churched. Let's say that you've been churched. You've come brought up in a certain way. And we don't quite understand how to get past that mindset. We have been trained to be Christians as opposed to being followers of Christ. Ooh, I better stay right here. We just have a tendency to just to do the walk just a little bit at a time. When it feels good, we'll do it. When it don't feel good, I ain't going. Well, I ain't going to go. Because it don't feel good. I'll just worship him right here at home. Nah, I can't do that. I got too much stuff I got to do, so I'll catch up with them next week. Oh, you know what? I'll go on the website, download the podcast. We wonder why we just all messed up. You notice I'm talking to church folks in here, right? Did I talk to anybody from the street that don't know Jesus? You can raise your hand up. Oh, so we all church folk in here. We have to get to that point where we can't be at that level of complacency. He wants us to dig and dig deeper. Not through revelation, but through relation. Relation. And when you can do that, you begin to experience him in a whole new way. A whole new way. How many of you have children in here? Raise your hand. Don't your kids kind of surprise you every now and then? I didn't know that was in them, whether good or bad. Okay, maybe y'all don't want to tell on your own children. Okay, let's do this. Let's leave the kids alone. How many times do you surprise yourself? Some of y'all are like, I don't understand that question. Is that a trick question? You know what happens is when you know yourself so well, you stay doing self so long. But when you let him get in there, he gets in. And then all of a sudden he starts showing you a little bit more about you. You're like, ooh, that's a nasty person right there. That's me? Shoot. Why? He just wants to reveal himself through us. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good. So good. Even when things ain't going good, he's good. Do you think your problems are too big for him?
No.
Do you think that what you're going through, he don't have an answer for? Do you think that you've really stumped God with what's going on in your life? Marty, you don't mess me up because I can't even figure you out. No. No, he knows you. Matter of fact, the Bible says he knew you before you were ever formed. And then he's cold with this. Watch this. Y'all need to read the Bible. God says, I knew you before you were ever in your mama's womb. He's talking about your mama. In your mama's womb. I knew you. Do you see what I mean? The Bible even says that he knows how many hairs that are on your head. For some of us, it's dwindling, but he knows them. I'm just saying, I'm talking about me. We've been looking for the wonder pill, drug, drink, fountain of youth. They're out there. They're out there. They're called beauty salons. Make you look younger for a minute. About 2 weeks later, you got to do things all over again. Just for a quick minute. Well, you see what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. Pastor, you look young this week. I got my hair dyed. Pastor, you dye your hair? Shoo. I don't know this pastor. If I let it go, I'm pepper. Salt and pepper. Salt and pepper, baby. And I don't mean for seasoning either. I just... But we try everything, don't we? We even try going to the gym. Get up on that stair climber. Lord, that's the devil. Put that thing on level one. It ain't doing nothing but you're looking good. Then you got your headphones on. What's up? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think I'm done for the day. What kind of change is going to take place? Because I'm transitioning in now. What kind of change is going to take place? Or, I'm not pointing at you, Sylvia, I'm just saying, or, you know, you go and decide you're going to do a diet. Do the diet. Go ahead, do the diet. Because usually about the first day you decide you're going to do it, you're gung-ho. You are in the supermarket. I can't have this, I can't have that, but I will eat this and I'll eat that. Matter of fact, let me check to see. Maybe read this one for me. Does it have any carbs? Oh, wait, let's get over here. Does it have any saturated fat? How many sugars is in there? Like, you really gonna keep up with it anyhow? Because what'll happen is you start eating it, but it's not the same flavor that you're used to. Because, you know, you sit down like, this is it, I'm on my diet. You just... You know, flavor in that one. Must have been spoiled. Well, that diet lasted all but a day. So then what you try to do is go without eating. Big mistake. Skip a meal. Mm-mm. Then it starts storing something that you don't want. It's called fat. I'm going to get off this subject now. Hallelujah. Some of y'all were starting to look at me like the devil done showed up in this house tonight. But what I want to speak to you about is something that I think that y'all need to understand, that we serve a redeeming God. A redeeming God. Have you ever went to the supermarket when you're hungry? Is that wisdom? Because you have the stuff that's going to wind up in the basket. Look, let me put it to you this way. You usually show up because I'm just going to run in real quick. I'm hungry, but I got to run in real quick. Just get a couple of things. So you walk in with that little red basket, you know. By the time you know it, like, hey, go get me a real basket. You got the ding-dongs, the Twinkies, and everything else. Nothing of what you really wanted.
You forgot what you went there for.
And by the time you get home, I spent $100 on what? Well, and then this is what happens. You know that you spend all that money. Well, they can't go to waste. Shoot. Put on a movie and let's go to town. But next week, I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to eat good. And do a drive-by. I'm going to go by the gym. Right on by. You didn't do nothing for us. The Lord spoke to me last year and said, 2013 will be a year of change. Yay. Change. Some of the things that do need to change is we need to understand that we've gone through a process. And it's been a lengthy process in our life, and we've developed habits. We develop things in our life that we need to learn how to deal with. And then on top of that, you've been around people that have labeled you. We're going to change that. Amen. Michael, you have me on record? All right, amen. Well, for those of you that go to our website and download the podcast, it's free. It's free. The Lord told me, don't make any more CDs. Wisdom tells you, don't spend money to make something that no one's buying to begin with. If you want it, it's on the website, download it, and it's for free. Amen. Hallelujah. You can put it on your desktop. You can put it on your iPhone, your smartphone, your dumb phone, your idiot phone, whatever phone you want to put it on. The iTunes phone. But what I want to show you is your Redeemer lives. Your Redeemer lives. Amen. And one of these days, just one of these days, bind that devil in the name of Jesus every week. But it's all right. All right. Watch me, Michael. Advance the arrow to the right one. Labels and lids. Go to your Bible, Luke 7:36. Luke 7:36. I want to show you some things. Just some things. Labels and lids. And let me begin to set this up. I went to the grocery store today with my beloved wife to look for some things to eat. To look for some things to eat. As you notice, my leaders are saying salad, vegetables, fruits. And then we get real creative. I walk down this one aisle because we had to get some spaghetti sauce so that we can make something for the kids. I just had an opportunity to look at all the different spaghetti sauces on the shelf. And as I'm staring at the spaghetti sauces, my God, are there so many? Aren't there so many spaghetti sauces? You have marinara, marinara with vegetables, marinara with Parmesan. You have the garlic, mushrooms, sausages. Peppers. And then you wonder, which one of these should I get? And as you're looking at marinara sauce, determining which one you want, every label looks pretty. Doesn't it? It just grabs your attention. And you expect it to look the way it, well, it never looks like that when it comes up because the label looks so pretty. But then when you get the jar and you turn it around, you start looking at the ingredients, right? Some of us do. Some of us just, let's go. Labels and lids. Labels and lids. Grocery store. H-E-B is very profound. It gets very prophetic. Are you there? Luke 7:36. You know that Luke is known as the great physician, the beloved physician, right? This is the Dr. Luke speaking to you here. Dr. Luke. Amen? Dr. Luke. I want you to look at the scripture and reference here. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house. Whose house? Pharisee's house. And reclined at the table. That's just 37. And there was a woman in the city who was what?
Sinner.
Sinner. Say label.
Label.
Mm-hmm. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair of her head, kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, say label. He would know who and what sort of person this woman is. Say label.
Label.
It sounds like sometimes people just have a tendency to just call some things that they see. If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, who's him? Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors and owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose one whom forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water from my feet, but she has wiped my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since she's come in, she has not ceased from kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. We honor your word, Father, for we know that it's life. We know that it is the food that is necessary for our soul and our spirit to continue to grow. But it is our responsibility to put this word to use and to practice into our life. So, Father, we just thank you that we're grateful for the great debt that you paid for us, a debt that we couldn't pay. But Lord, we thank you that you shed your blood and paid the price for us. And we thank you that our sins have been forgiven, and we are graciously, graciously in debt unto you with our love unto you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Did you see there how things began to change a little bit? Lids. Labels and lids. Labels are the things that you can pick up in a grocery store and you can read. And you look at it and you can tell what the contents is in that jar, correct? Just kind of think about the jars there at HEB or any grocery store that you frequent. There's many of them. But on every jar, is there not an expiration date? If it sits too long, they have to remove it and discard it. I'm going to kind of put this right back on you and just let you know that each one of you are jars in the kingdom of God that have already been filled. Been filled. But what has happened is society has placed you on a shelf and has left you there, and you are beginning to collect the dust and been sitting there and been rotten. And when it's time to be used, you don't feel like it's time to be used, so you just get so comfortable by sitting and not doing anything. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life. What many people have a tendency to do is to label you for what they see with their eyes. But that is not who you are. When God filled you, He filled you with good things. He filled you with His love, His mercy, and His grace. But He also filled you with peace, love, and joy. He also filled you with the gifts that were given unto you for the edification of the church. These are the gifts that were bestowed upon you before you were ever formed. But it seems like we go through life with labels, and it just seems like people just pass us on by. Do we ever feel like God is passing us up? Now, be real with me. Don't you ever feel like, God, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been going to church, I've been doing what you, I've been obedient to what you've commanded me to do, but I feel like I've been shelved for a season. And because I've been this season, God, I don't quite understand why I feel like I'm expiring up here. Do you hear what I'm saying? These Pharisees were known to be hypocrites because they were known to know the law, but they chose when to abide by the law. Correct? Now, it was a Pharisee that invited Jesus to go eat in his home, correct? Simon, correct? I'll just show you some things. Maybe you know, just humor me. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 6. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, who? The leper. Simon the leper. But he was a Pharisee in the other story. Same Simon. But the Levitical law says that a leper must be taken out of the city. A leper may not even be in the presence that even of a teacher or even in the presence of officials. So you already know that there's something that's going on here is that you can come to my house even though you're not supposed to be there and even though I'm not supposed to be around the other Pharisees, but they have a tendency to kind of make it be okay for me. Because I'm part of the elect group, so you can come on to my house. Simon the leper was not even supposed to have him there. But here's the flip side of that is Jesus went into the house of a leper. We can't even get Christians to pray for people that are even sick. We can't even have Christians that will go and pray for people knowing that they have an issue and a demon in their life because they're afraid that the demon's going to jump on them. They're afraid that they're going to get something attached to them and they don't want to go to that place and do what God has called them to do because they're more afraid of the craziness that's in that person's life and they don't want to receive that on them. We've got a little twisted here. Is there any power greater than God?
No.
The Bible says that the power that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So if the enemy is the one that is coming to attack those with sickness and disease, the leper, Jesus could have said, I can't go in there. I can't. No. You've got issues that I can visually see. That's what leprosy was. I can't go in there. But Jesus did not judge even Simon. Jesus went in there and he sat at the table. Matter of fact, the Bible says he reclined at the table. And he sat there with them and he ate with them. And in comes this woman, a sinner. Name's not mentioned, but later on people say Mary, the one that had the alabaster box. But in this portion of the story, her name's not even mentioned. How many times have people passed judgment on you and they don't even know you? They want to kind of look at you and say, oh, I know this about them. You don't know nothing. Just shut your mouth. You're already in the wrong spirit to begin with. But they pass judgment on you based on what they label you as. What they label you as. Go to the next slide, Michael, please. Verse 37 says, the sinful woman heard Jesus was there. She brought a gift to Jesus. She wept and never spoke. Do you see that in the Bible? All she could do was weep in his presence and never uttered a prayer unto Jesus. Never even uttered, woe is me. But we have Christians today that they may be going through so much stuff, but they can't even keep their own mouth shut. They start bashing everybody around them. They start getting mad at everybody because they're going through something. And they open up their mouth about this, they open up their mouth about this. But what it says about this woman, she was there weeping in his presence, never spoke. And the people around her knew that she was a sinner. Boy, I hate that. I can tell you I'm a sinner. For some of y'all think, well, Pastor, you the pastor. I'm a pastor that needs grace and mercy. Amen. Just like you. Amen. Sometimes I feel like I got to be just at his feet, just crying, never saying a word, because I don't know what to pray no more. Don't even know what to say anymore. All I can do is just weep. I don't even have to say a word because he already knows my thoughts. I just got to be there. Matter of fact, one of the scriptures says that she stood behind him. Sometimes we feel like we can't even go before Jesus. We just have to stay behind. Can't even get there because it's just so bad to begin with. Some of the stuff that I'm going through is just so bad. I don't even want to go before Jesus. I don't want even people to see me because I'm going through so much as it is. Let me just hide behind and just hide behind the grace. And if I can hide behind the grace, then nobody can see my mess. But something tells me I must get low so that I can go high. I got to get so low that I've got to get to his feet and begin to weep at his feet, because so many people put labels on me and called me so many names. These names hurt me. They've caused so much pain in my life. I began to just live my life under these labels of over my life, and it began to identify who I was because of these labels. And because of these labels, I feel like I'm never going to come out of what I'm in, because society doesn't want to help me. The church doesn't want to help me. These were the Pharisees. They were supposed to know the law. They were supposed to be able to help her, but they didn't. They were so afraid that they would break even their own laws that they were supposed to be adhering to. But yet, that leper was okay to have Jesus to come in. But the woman that brought a very expensive perfume made them indignant because of it. Do you understand that the labels that people put on you are put on you unfairly? Some of those people may be your family. For some, it may be moms and dads that put labels on you. They may have said you're never going to amount to anything, that you're never going to grow up to be anything. You're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be just like your mom. You're going to be an alcoholic. You're just going to be another drug addict. You're just going to be someone that's an adulterer, just like your father. You're a womanizer, or you're just never going to settle. You're always going to go through relationship after relationship. And you grow up in that household believing that over and over and over. And then you have some parents that were, even in the day, that they would call their kids stupid. They would even tell that they're ignorant. They're dumb. They're not smart. And they grow up in life wondering why their kids just can't get it together, because of the spitting image of exactly what was spoken over their life. They became the content of that label. Do you understand? They became what was spoken in that content in that jar based upon the label that was put on them. Do you understand? We have lived our life based on what people think about us. Some of these things, we didn't ask for anybody to think about us that way. We've gone through so much. Some of us have even been through, I'm going to just say it so that you understand the severity of it. We've been molested. We've been raped. We've been left for dead, sold into sexual slavery, sold and given for someone so they can get their drugs for their parents. That's what's going on in our society today. Today. Labels. Here's what I find is very interesting. Very interesting in what she did. She had to open up the jar and pour it on his feet. Did she not? She brought something that was very costly in the eyes of the people that were watching her, the Pharisees. But what she brought to him was herself, was very costly. regardless of what the labels were, and regardless of what society made her out to be, because she went to his feet and opened up that lid of everything that's been poured into her, said over her life, spoken about her, how she was mistreated, how she was labeled to be a whore, a prostitute. But everything that she had went through, if I could get to his feet and empty it all out on his feet. Why the feet? Why the feet and why not his hands, his heart, or his head? When she emptied out everything, that label that was put upon her, every name that she was called, everything that they set her out of the community about, she emptied herself and every name upon the feet of Jesus. The Bible says that every name shall be under his feet. And what she did is put everything under the feet of Jesus so that she could be redeemed. She opened up that jar and she removed the lid, because many times people are keeping you down and placing that lid tightly over you, and they don't want you to advance. They don't want you to get further than you are. And many people think that it's going to be a spirit. It's not a spirit. It's a word. You can bind every devil you want to bind. But the foundation of this earth was built with one word. And a word that is spoken into your soul takes root. And when it takes root, it produces its fruit. And it's got to be uprooted. Sometimes you got to go to a season of deliverance. You can go through a moment of deliverance. Or you can do what she did as she got to his feet, cried it all out, opened up that jar, released it all on his feet, cried every last tear, wipe it with all of her hair, anoint him with something that was very costly to her. It cost her something. When she heard that Jesus was in that house, she went with a gift to Jesus. Some of us can't even come to Jesus with a gift. We can't even get to God without bringing anything to him. We just want to go there and just receive and receive, but we don't want to give. This isn't about your money. It's about giving your life to him. Sacrificing everything for God so that you can empty yourself to him, and he'll give you a new identity. A new identity. One of the things you got to understand is sometimes we get placed on the shelf because you were in church for so long, but they couldn't see the potential in you because they were so used to seeing the labels that you have to go through this for so many years in order to be used of God. That's manipulation and control. That is a spirit. Where is that spirit? In the church. In the church. Don't get set on a shelf collecting dust and about to expire. Let God remove you from that shelf and bring you into the place where you can be used of God. And he'll do it with his loving hands to remove you from that shelf. And many people will want to stop you and tell you, you can't. But the word of God says you can. You will, because you're an overcomer. Don't let the labels that society has put on you, Christendom has put on you, the church has put on you, your neighbors, your family, your friends, your coworkers. What you've got to do is empty all that stuff out. And if you've got something on you with some sort of sickness or disease, some sort of heartache or some sort of pain, empty that on him and give it to him. Because every name that is ever written and every name that is named shall come under his feet. Amen. And your Redeemer lives to set you free from all the labels and to remove that lid. To empty yourself of who you are so that you can receive of who he is in you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you want that?
Yes.
How many of you said, I'm tired of being on that shelf and people just looking at me and saying, that's not what I want. This is ministering to someone concerning a relationship that you've gone through. And this relationship has hurt you so bad. I don't want to be shelved. I know I can be useful in a relationship that can be respected. Beloved, this is for you, and you just receive it. You just receive it. Don't worry. Things do hurt. That's why it's called pain. Even the times of birthing, the greatest bundle of joy is coming your way. But before the joy comes the pain. And then after the joy comes, there's still pain. And after the pain is gone from the birthing, there's the sleepless nights. There's some things that you got to begin to do to take care of what God has given you. For some of you that, like I asked before, who have children, your first one was the one that you bundled up real tight. You wouldn't give anything other than the breast milk or the formula. You wouldn't go anything past that. You wouldn't do anything else. And if it was cold outside, you'd have 6 blankets on the baby. And you'd take the baby outside. You'd make sure that it was all covered up nice and tight. And you would make sure that nothing would come their way. But by the second and third child, you have just a t-shirt, no socks, and a diaper going outside. And it's 60 degrees out because you realize something. You had a time where you were just kind of just taking care of your bundle of joy. But over a course and period of time, you realize the baby's going to be okay. The first one had a tendency to drop its binky. And you pick the binky up, you go sanitize it, clean it up real good. Then, but by the second and third child, pick it up. Process. Change does take place. Heaven forbid that you're outside and it's summertime and it's humid and you got these big old mosquitoes everywhere. If it's your first child, you walk around with that. Oh, I think we're good. I think we're good. But now come the second child. Not even covered. No off. Just walking out there, just swatting the, laying on the baby, you hit the baby too. What happened? We start looking for only the good things on the first child, but by the second and third child, you get the hand-me-downs in here. But the first child, you took your time to sterilize the bottles before the first use. But by the second child, you just rinse the bottom, put it in, here you go. What changed? What changed? Thank you. An experience that you had with your first child made you be less fearful with the second child. Some of us are fearful with our first experience with God, that we are so caught up being so cautious, that we're afraid to do anything because we're going to get slapped by God. But eventually when you feel grace come your way because you messed up enough, you realize, I got this. Because if I fall down, I know he's going to get me back up. Because I remember the last time when I was so fearful, he helped me back up. Why? Because you had an experience that brought you out of fear. Why? Because this label in Christendom, the first time you got saved, you had to do things a certain way. But when you came into realizing something, when you fell, he picked you up and you're further along than where you were at. How does that work, God? I messed up, but I'm not back where I used to be. That grace is something else, isn't it? Let me see how good this grace really is. Let me just see how good this grace is. I'm going to just start. Maybe I'll. But if I mess up, he helped me once. He'll do it again. Amen. We got to just step out. We're so fearful on the first one because there's been a label on us on how to do church. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Can I point something out? This is not to put y'all two on blast. It ain't. It really isn't. Can both y'all stand, please? Just stand myself, yes. I'm going to just show you something. Can y'all face the congregation, please? These are some of my leaders in the church. You couldn't go to church dressed like this. Watch this, watch this. Tell the truth, right? Tell the truth. Because what will happen? They would put a label all over you already. They would put a label all over you saying they don't reverence God. They don't know how to reverence church. No, that has nothing to do with it. God has never been concerned with the way you look. He's always been concerned about your heart. And what God is saying, that I have already set you free from every label that has been put on you. But you have a tendency to hear something and you go right back to your original encounter and get caught up being a baby all over again. The letters, the Pauline letters that the Apostle Paul writes to the churches are written very sternly for a reason. These are churches that were established without the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. So it was easier for them to fall away from something that they never saw. He's like, you don't understand. You don't do things this way. You do it this way. Why would the Apostle Paul write letters to the church saying, you've got to understand the grace and the mercy of God? What did the Apostle Paul go through? Matter of fact, when he wrote these letters, either he was shipwrecked on an island or he was in jail. He had already been bit by a viper and they thought he was going to die. He was already having to go through so much stuff as it is. Why would he understand grace so much? Because he wasn't like this. He had an experience. He had an encounter. He took the lid off of religion and he said, I don't want religion no more. I want relationship. And when I have relationship, I'm no longer the same person that has a label on me. I am now a new creature created in him and I'm being renewed day by day. So when you mess up, get up. Don't stay there. Get up. But what has happened, watch this, watch this. Talking about Paul. We get bit by a religious snake that wants to make you go back into religion, recoil, and make you feel that if you don't act like everybody else, you'll never amount to anything else. What did the Apostle Paul do? Matter of fact, he shook it off and he kept on roasting those marshmallows. He had those s'mores cooking. Not only did he have the s'mores cooking, he realized some people were talking to see what's going on with him. So he says, you know what, I'm going to write letters concerning you jokers. Y'all always looking to get someone killed off because they did something wrong. You don't understand God will bring you up out of the grave because that's the resurrection power. And if the snake can't take you out like he did in the garden, he'll never take you out through your process. You are the one that will keep you out of your promise and your garden. You've got to understand, take that lid off. Take that lid off. We put that lid on so tight, we can't even open it. Then they have all these contraptions. Put the lid and put it between the two vices. That don't work. Then you get that little rubber mat. That don't work. But if you just give it to God,
amen.
You give it to God, it's no longer a struggle. Because what he does, he opens that thing, he empties you. Watch this. People don't want to talk about that. God will empty you all. He will take, strip, and remove. People say, God don't do that. Oh, what? Shut your mouth. He don't take everything away from you, even make you think you're losing your mind. Take your job, your car, your house, everything away. Take your mind away. And when you lose all that, you even lose your daughter you ain't seen for years. And he takes your daughter, you say, God, I know you're going to do something for me because I'm taking that lid off. I'm not the same person that I used to be. And everything that comes out of me is going to bring everything that I lost because you're the one that's emptying me so that you can fill me with what I need when I need it. And everything that had my daughter come away from me is going to bring my daughter back to me. You can't take things away from me. It may be for a season, but when that season has come nigh unto me, I get everything back. And I get everything back and then some. I'm not going to go on without getting what's rightfully mine. I take the lid of religion off and I accept what God has for me. You cannot be a label and just be what they tell you you're going to be. You got to be who God says you're going to be, who you are. You're not finished. He's doing it day by day. He's making you. It's a process. But in this process, you're changing. You're changing. You're not the same. You're not worried about the mosquitoes anymore. You realize that I know that everything I'm doing to protect this baby is going to be okay with this child. Talking to you, prophet. Your ministry may have been something that you used to have to watch over. Things that had to have you have to just be careful about. On this one, God says, I will raise you up. Oh, watch this. You had two, baby. But on your third, you're going to walk out knowing, I ain't got to worry about that joker. I ain't got to worry about that false prophet. I ain't got to worry about that goat. I ain't got to worry about that sheep that keeps biting sheep. Because I got to know something. I fell once. I fell twice. But I come up again. You don't wait. You just keep on, keeping on. He's going to do it. Everybody has purpose, call, and ministry inside of you. But people put labels on you, and you don't think you can come out of that. He's got to just put some things and release, oh my God, so that you can get what's rightfully yours. You've gone through enough, baby. You've suffered loss after loss and after loss. How much more, God? I can't take it no more. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my appetite. I'm losing sleep. How much more, God? My heart is hurting because I don't understand, God. I need you to come through now, God. Your prayer is Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, come now. Come now. Your past is redeemed. For your Redeemer draw nigh unto you, baby. Nigh unto you. You're going to see your future. It's not years away. It's today. Today. Things are changing in your life. Things are changing as God's been speaking. He's been speaking. You gave it to him when you came in. You came in broken. You came in. You didn't have to bring a vial of perfume. Lord, I may be full of stench right now. Here it is. I give it to you. And it was fragrant enough. It was costly. It started off in one gospel that it was just perfume. But later on in the third gospel, it grows. And now it's oxnard. It increases in value. And it's something more expensive than when it started out to be. We go through things and seasons in our life we don't understand. We've lived under a label that we're supposed to be this way. We're supposed to teach this way. We're supposed to preach this way. We're supposed to understand the word a certain way. We're supposed to divide the word a certain way. I'm here to tell you that it's the heart that God is after. It's not about your mind. Your mind will bind you. Intellectualism is a spirit. But it's the relationship that releases the promises of God into your life. I'm here to tell you, he's taking you off of the shelf. And he's going to put you into use so that you can understand one thing. He's never forgotten about you. He'll never forget about you. He knows everything he's given you. And everything that's been stripped and everything's been taken. And every word that has hurt you, he's going to bring it back to you to reveal to you. I love you because I love you. Nothing else because I love you. I'm here to encourage you. I don't care what kind of system has been lying to you. Matter of fact, our governmental system has been lying to you and saying that it's going to get worse before it gets better. The Bible says that it shall not draw nigh unto me. 1,000 may fall to my left and 10,000 to my right, but it shall not fall upon me. Draw nigh unto me. Keep yourself under the wings of the Most High God and watch what he'll do without having to give you all these scriptures and tell you what is and what is to come. I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than anything that you're going through, and he won't leave you nor forsake you. And if you're struggling with an addiction right now, just say, God, take it. Take it, because I don't want it. God, my God, my God. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Don't ever estimate the power of God. Don't. I'm here to tell you that there are drug addicts that are going to be loosed. They're going to be loosed. Those that have been addicted to prescription drugs are getting freed. Those that have been under bondage because of certain issues in their life that are restrictive because of only medications that the doctor says that can only heal you. I'm here to speak a word of truth to you. Fact is this, but truth is that. That by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I've had that done to me for too many years. And I'm telling you like I tell you, it made me mad. Because all those fancy words that used to tickle my ears and all these just promises of this and promises of that did nothing for me until I realized in my brokenness that God enjoyed my brokenness so he can restore me. And he took pleasure in restoring that which was broken, that which was cast out. You're not going to expire on the shelf. You may be going through, but you're coming out. You're coming out. I don't know if you're looking for a job, man. But I know that what God is about to do for you is because you got tired of all that other mess. You got tired of it. It's a good thing to be tired of it, man. It's a good change been happening. Matter of fact, even in your dreams, you've seen some kind of weird things. Like, what's this? God's been showing you for a reason, man. And I don't know if you play any instrument at all, man. But God is saying, I'm going to raise you up. You're a mouthpiece into the kingdom of God. Don't change your ways. Just change your perception. So he can use you just the way you are, man. Just the way you are. You're a good man. Good man. I celebrate what God's about to do in your life. You'll see it, man. It's going to blow your natural mind. Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you. Labels and lids, Oscar. Labels and lids, man. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet.